And the Nats sweep the fucking Phils. Cue the fucking intro.
Oh my God. Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here.
Ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick is...
The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008. World champions of baseball!
Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
And this motherfucking two-game sweep is in the books as well. What do you got to say about it, Theo? What do you got to say?
I got to say we're tied on the year, and it was one hell of a fucking game, too. But we'll be back against your asses in a month, and reality will kick you guys in the fucking doors.
Guess what? It was a hell of – both games were a hell of a game. First off,
we game got – one was pretty good, too.
Let's start off with game one. So we got Scherzer versus Wheeler. It was not the pitching duel we expected. It was low scoring, but both pitched Wheeler out in the third, Scherzer out in the fifth. And we kind of tagged Wheeler early. Bullpen took care of the rest. The Phils threatened in the ninth, but we held them out. Rhys Hoskins grounds out to end the game with the bases juiced.
Should have tied the fucking game. That fucking blooper that Harrison caught should have tied the game. That was a nice play.
When he ran into Turner.
That was a nice play.
That probably would have gave him the lead if he dropped that. Might have walked it off.
Doubtful. I mean, maybe just because of the collision, it probably could have rolled around out there. He gave him time to score, but.
Well, we also got to break into Joe Girardi being a prick.
Gap is tipped. You guys clutched up.
How about we talk about Joe Girardi being a prick?
Yeah, I mean, he saw Scherzer go into his brim a good 4 or 5 times. He said he's seen him throughout his whole career, and he's never seen him do this as much as he did tonight or that night, last night.
Actually, he said he was rubbing his hair, which Scherzer said was the only place he can get moisture from because it was not a very hot night.
Yeah, and that's fair. I don't think Scherzer's using any shit. I think if Scherzer would have given up a run after they iced him, so to say, that's like the term I like to use in shit like this, is they iced him by kind of putting a break into the game. I think if he gives up a run there, you probably would see benches clearing. But yeah, he was able to get out of it.
Well, that was a hell of a game. And that was a little weird thing that happened with Girardi and shit. And
I'm pissed about the fucking rest of the Phils dugout not doing shit. You got your fucking coach on the field trying to scrap with a fucking player. And you can't even back your coach up.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. But to be fair, the Nats didn't do anything either. I would have liked to see Max Scherzer go over there and beat the shit out of Girardi.
He wouldn't have done shit.
Right.
This is how, like, that ass. This is how it would have gone. Scherzer would have just ate every single punch from Girardi. Damn, he would not put his hand on him, dude.
He would beat the shit out of him.
Dude. I wonder if that's ever happened.
What?
Coach fighting player.
Yeah, have you ever seen the video of the Yankees and Red Sox brawling and 70-year-old Don Zimmer fucking ran at Pedro Martinez and he picked him up by the head and threw him on the ground?
No, I've not seen that.
He was 70 years old and Pedro just picked him up by his fucking ears and chucked him on the ground. He pretty much hit him with one of these.
Put down your fucking report, you little fucking pimsqueak!
Called him a pimsqueak and gave him a
toss. I'm going to have to check that out later. I did not know that.
Yeah, I'll fucking send you the video. Oh!
It's nuts.
But, yeah, first game was pretty fun, but Let's break into the
game
real
two. I think game two had to have been game of the year.
Game of the year. It started out with a Travis Jankowski three-run nuke. Phillies are coming out hot. Then Harper hits the nuke. Vinny Velo drives in a run. It's 5-0 Phils. At this point, I'm like getting a little worried. Then we start chipping away. We make it 5-2. Then Schwarber comes up with the big three-run nuke to keep himself hot. And we got your boy McClutchin. That was pretty clutch, I'm not going to lie, with that grand salami.
And you know what I noticed? He looked very late on the swing, too. Like, if you look at it again, he looked like he hesitated, was not expecting a breaking ball.
I'll watch it right now. In front of it. Yeah, he did kind of like twitch a little bit. He looked like he was adjusting to the breaking ball.
Exactly.
That slider was hung right in there, though.
Yeah.
That guy, McGowan, did not have it. But then we had that to, I thought that was the nail in the coffin, to be honest. But then we kept chipping away. Josh Bell with the grand salami as of his own. And I actually have a fun stat here. This was the only game, yes, the only game in Major League history when both sides had a three-run homer and a grand slam. Only time ever. First game.
Wow.
Fucking 100-something years of baseball, and that's the first time that ever happened.
That's a fucking stat for the books.
It's pretty damn cool. But, yeah, Josh Bell. After Josh Bell hit that grand slam, I was feeling pretty comfortable. But then the Phils chipped away, and Ronald, better than Acuna Chirea, wound up giving him the lead. But then your boy Neris blew it, and Fidel Castro drives in the game-winning run. Let's go.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Like, some days Neris makes himself look like he's got it, and I'd say, like, the other fucking 85% of the time, he's fucking dog shit, dude. We need a new closer.
Well, I don't – if you're running the front office, do you just try to make one of your current guys into a closer, sign another guy, which I don't really think is a great idea because I don't think you guys are a closer away from contention, and if you're going to spend big money, I'd definitely say a starter would better fit. Or you could
– No, I see what you're saying here.
Trade department.
I think you go Velo as the closer. I know that's a big, bold statement, but I think you go Velo as the closer.
That's interesting, but, I mean, that's not just a thing where you can be like, all right, you're going to be the closer in the middle of the year. Like, that's something you got to work on, like, over an off season or something.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think, you know, today we kind of saw what we've seen in – Spencer Howard, which is after the third and fourth, the velocity drops. He lost 3-4 miles on the fastball by the third or fourth. Like, that's a reliever type of pitcher if I've ever fucking seen one.
Yeah, I don't think he's a starter moving forward. And yeah, he probably would be a good back end guy, but
he looked great in the first and second, especially.
He didn't give up a hit for the first three innings.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a lot of pitchers have done that to us this year. So, not taking anything
he's
away
gotta
from
him. He's got to be a reliever, man. He's got to be a reliever. Enough experimenting with him as a starter. You can't keep flipping him back and forth. Make him a reliever. Find a new starter. You need guys that are going to go 6-7 innings of 1-2 runs at the maximum. And we don't have that. We have one guy right now that has solidified the fact that he can do that. And more, and then everybody else is just a fucking toss up. It's literally a fucking toss up every fucking day with everyone below Wheeler.
Yeah, well, I mean, same could be said about us. Corbin's been rocky this year. I mean, we really only have Scherzer to count on. Hudson has been really good out of the pen, but he's on the shelf. Same with Finnegan. And today we are kind of short on relievers because Brad Hand wasn't available. Austin Voth came in, but this was the first time in his career where he pitched in back-to-back days, so he didn't really do good with that. Rainey had no command, McGowan had no command, and the guys that actually did look good, like Suero and Justin Miller, they only got the pitch to one fucking hitter, and then we had to pinch hit for him. And
right.
Paolo Espino looked pretty good to close it out there, but because I was pretty worried.
They thought they were warming him up earlier in the game.
They did.
You said they closed with him?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty worried when we were going into the bottom of the ninth because it was Hoskins, Harper, and Real Muto, and he should have got him 1-2-3, but they made an error on Real Muto, and then he wound up getting Brad Miller.
Yeah, I didn't catch the last two innings. I was at my house for the top of the eighth, and then I had to get to my game. So I heard we took a 12-11 lead, and I'm like, here we fucking go. Let's see if we clutch it. And then literally 5 seconds later, Naris fucks it.
Well, it was a hell of a game. I could probably make a whole 2-hour-long episode just talking about this damn game. Because, I mean, our bats are really starting to heat up. Surprisingly, the only guy that didn't really hit today was Soto, 0-for-4 with a walk. But
on the flip side, Alex Boehm, 4-for-5 with a double today.
Yeah.
And I think he might have been 5-for-8, 6-for-8 on the series.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, I mean, your whole bottom of the lineup really came through clutch. I mean, Odubel went 0-for-5. Hoskins went 1-for-6. Harper had the nuke. Real Muto went 1-for-6. Brad Miller went 0-for-4. But then you got your bottom guys. I mean, Boehm, Janikowski had a hell of a game. Torreya's had a hell of a game.
I'm sick of fucking Brad Miller, dude. He is bringing nothing to the table as of late. All he is a fucking error machine and a fucking walk-a-thon at best.
He's 0 for his last 15.
He's dog shit. Get fucking Maton back in there. End of story.
Yeah, I don't know why Maton's not playing.
He's been on the bench. I don't get it.
Me neither.
Well, let Luke Williams play a little more. Why not? That's true. We're a fucking 500 team. Put in guys like that until Didi's back.
Yeah, experiment. He came up with a big hit there. But
Torreya ain't shit long term. He's a fucking flash in the pan here and there. you gotta fucking start using these young guys. Just fucking give them a chance. Give them fucking 50, 60 at bats.
As we were talking about earlier with the freaking sacrifice bunts, how nobody does it anymore. Avila lays down a beauty in the top of the ninth to move the runners to second and third. And that was his first sacrifice bunt since 2017.
Fuck him.
Doing the fundamentals, my friend.
I've been preaching about it for the last few days where you got runners on second, nobody out, lefty, lefty. Let's fucking have him swing the twig. Let's have him swing the twig, lefty, lefty. We're fucking down by a run or two. We don't need that run. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it is.
Bring the textbook back.
I was happy to see Davey lay it down there with Avila and paid off.
The only part of bunting Girardi wants with this team is to fucking get Odubel to poke it down the fucking shift.
Yeah, agreed. Well,
I mean, I guess it's fucking smart.
I don't know. Like, it's not smart if he can't get it down. They should.
Right. He doesn't even make contact. That's the thing. He doesn't even make contact on him. He whiffs at every single bunt.
I know. He always miss. How do you, like, miss a bunt every time?
Well, I think it looks like he's trying to drag too early.
On another NL East note right now, the Mets are beating the Braves 6-3, but the Braves got runners at first and second with one out in the top of the eighth. So we'll see how that plays out. Maybe something will happen by the end of this episode. And
I'd love to see a Bravos dub.
Yeah, but before we break, is there anything else I needed to talk about barring this game? I mean, besides the fact that Schwarber's a fucking beast. Leads the major leagues in home runs and RBIs in June.
Hey, yeah, man. He's having a good month. Harper's on a resurgence, though.
Yeah.
Possible.
I will tip my cap. He looked good that series. But, I mean, there's nothing. My dad said, because I was talking to him about the game, and his big takeaway was the Phillies left 21 runners on base today.
Yeah, how about the walk count too?
Yeah, six for the
relievers sucked.
Six for the Phils and eight walks for the Nats. I mean, the Nats left 14 on base, which isn't great, but I mean, that's obviously going to happen when you got a lot of offense. But 14 and 21 is, that's not great. But Odubel for you guys. Odubel, 0 for 5 and left 6 on base today. That's awful.
He probably didn't even move any of them either.
I don't even remember.
He might have had a sack fly. He might have had a sack fly, I think.
I don't remember what he did, but yeah, he must have had a sack fly because he went 0 for 5 and everybody else went 0 for 6, so he must have had a sack fly or something.
That's still an 0-4, though.
Yeah, I know. He was not on his A game.
He must have had a walk, did he?
No walks.
Hmm.
Him and Brad Miller were the only two not to get a hit.
You know what it was? I think they might have pinch hit that Verlin guy for Odubel.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't even know what they're doing with him. Like, you're going to give this guy a shot. Let's just fucking give the old fucking Iron Biggs a shot.
Maybe. I don't know. The Phillies, I don't know who I see them trading for at the deadline. I could definitely see him picking up a starter of some sort or some more relievers. But they definitely
watch them. Watch them not do shit.
I would not be surprised at that either.
I feel like they aren't going to do shit.
I would not be surprised at all.
And just rock with what they have right now and be content. And it's bullshit.
Well, honestly, I think they got to make some sort of move. I mean, depending where they're
absolutely
at.
Absolutely.
But depending where they're at the deadline, I mean, if they're not contending, I guess. Who do the Phillies play
now? We play the Reds now. Yeah, I think it's the Reds.
Mets. I think it's the Mets.
Mets, Reds, Marlins, I think.
You guys got off tomorrow and then a doubleheader against the Mets and then two more. So four games set against the Mets.
That's huge. That is fucking huge.
And we got a
four-game. It's a great opportunity.
We got a four-game set against the Fish.
So we do go to Cincy after
New York. For one game, you're just making up a game. And we do the same. We play the Mets for one game because we're making up a rainout, I guess.
We're going – oh, right.
And then after that, dude, we got Tampa Bay, L.A., San Diego, Giants.
That sounds tough. I know we got Chicago coming up, Padres.
I think you guys got the Dodgers again too, don't you? Let me see. You got the Mets.
Not before the break. Before the break.
You got the Mets, then the Marlins. Well, the Reds for one game, then the Marlins, then the Pods, Marlins, Cubs.
And the Cubs.
Red Sox. And then
yep.
Yeah, we both got tough schedules here, and the Mets kind of got a little bit of a cupcake schedule. So we're going to see what we're made of. Standings as of right now, well, if the Mets pull out and win tonight, then we'll be four games out. And the Braves, the Braves and Phillies will be tied for third. We'll be in second, and Mets will be in first, and then Fish are the bottom feeders.
How many games back would we be from second half?
You're a game behind us.
So you'd have to lose tomorrow. We'd have to – or Friday.
Well, you guys are off tomorrow, so if we win tomorrow, then we'll be a game and a half ahead of you.
Fuck. All right. Now we got to just – now we control our own destiny again.
Well, I'm getting a little flash of the 2019 Nats here. It looks like we were in the shitter. 9 games under 500. We are 9-1 in our last 10, and we have won 11 of our last 14.
I didn't want to say it, but I've been thinking the same shit in the last week.
I'm getting some of the vibes back. I mean, I know it's not the same squad, but if Schwarber and Bell keep hitting like they are, and Soto's bound to heat up soon. I mean, he's still not playing bad by any means, but he's bound to be back to his old superstardom ways. Turner's hitting well. And if we can get a healthy Strass back, this team's going to be scary.
I hate to fucking say it, but dude, I have been thinking the same shit as of late. Like I said.
Right. And the Phillies are going to be left at home.
Nah. We'll squeeze in somehow.
I don't know if we're quite a playoff team, but I mean, we'll see what we're made of here before the break playing all these contenders.
We will see.
But I don't got much more to talk about unless you do. I think we pretty much covered it all.
Let's wrap up this fucking bullshit of the last 48 hours.
You love to see it. And just as you were talking about, you've never been swept besides the Rays this year. You can add another one to your net list with the fucking Nats. Let's go.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
You motherfucker!
Motherfucker. Yeah, pick some
pumpkin. Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
He doesn't even have the button because he doesn't get the right to use the button after that pathetic performance.
Nah, I'm just on my fucking phone, asshole.
I'll hit it for you. Shut the fuck up. But that was towards you, asshole. All right. Well, I got nothing else. We will see you guys on Friday for the series recaps.
Enjoy your week, ladies and gents. We'll see you then.
Go Nats.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.